recording?
We're recording.
Yay. Yay. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a podcast. If you are new, this is the Golden Girls podcast. If you are not new, thank you for listening to us again. Thank you so much.
You did it more than once.
That was really weird. Okay.
You're a good fan. You're a good fan. Aren't you?
You're good for that. We're petting you right now. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very awesome special guest. I love him to death. We both love him to death. The very funny Zed Phillips.
Hello.
He's going to talk like that the whole time.
He's on NPR.
Golden Girls was set in a small Estonian country.
The village people had no idea what clean water meant.
Until Blanche showed them the way.
They used Blanche to cleanse the water. Okay, it's getting hot.
I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Delaware.
For the longest time, I couldn't figure out that, like, Michelle Norris was just Michelle. I was just like, that's a really interesting name. And then I was like, oh. Okay.
So that's it weird? Or yeah,
if you go, you know, after you watch Golden Girls, go to NPR.
Yeah, no, no.
Not exactly right now. But I'm just blowing your minds. Michelle is Michelle.
Michelle. Okay.
It's all a lie.
Justin, tell us about Golden Girls. Did you watch it or not growing up or...
As a kid, my mom was a huge Golden Girls fan. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times when she was watching it, I would end up watching it. So it's sort of one of those things that you pick up kind of like memories, just like,
yeah,
where, you know, it's like flashbacks where you're just mm-hmm. like, oh my God, B. Arthur's husband is such a deadbeat. Oh my God.
Stan.
I can't believe why would she ever be with that guy?
Stan Zbornak. Yeah, there's definitely like tapping into this memory bank for me. Like there'll be episodes that we watch for the podcast and I'll be like, oh yeah, this is the one.
I saw this.
This is the one where Betty White gets fucked. Okay.
They like, sure like to bone those ladies.
They do. Yeah. They're racy. They're racy ladies. Well, I'm glad that your mom exposed you to Golden Girls. I was exposed. I exposed myself to Golden Girls. I was just into anything that was on TV.
Golden Girls exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched everything on TBS. I believe Golden Girls on TBS doing when they were rerunning. In the 90s, and so I loved the Golden Girls ever since, and so
I love them so much.
I remember wanting to write for the Golden Girls. That was like really weird. Like I was like, I studied their joke structure. It was an odd thing for like a 10-year-old to do, but I wanted to. That and Cheers. I wanted to do it with Cheers.
I wanted to be on Price is Right. I still want to be on Price is Right.
You just want to be on. You don't want to like write for Price is Right. Or
you want, if the price is right, you're what right for Price is Right.
Kind of writing, just like stand there vacant eyed. Good.
That'd be the best writing gig. Tell Drew Carey to point at something.
All right, Drew. In this, you're going to look strangely thinner, and nobody's going to really like the new look. So go for that. And then,
you think he ever like forgets what he's doing and just starts playing Whose Line Is It Anyway? He's like, okay, we're going to play Names from a Hat.
Some place he would not like to be. $400?
I'm visiting from Florida.
You're not Colin Mockery. Get away from me.
Welcome to Price is Right, where the points don't matter. And hold on. Oh, I thought we were...
The points mattered. The points mattered.
Don't kill me.
I want the car. How is it... And there's like, no, yes, and.
Yes, and. You're denying it. You're denying him. This is the worst improv ever. Okay, so we watched an amazing episode of The Golden Girls. It is episode number 7, I believe, mm-hmm. and it's called The Competition.
I don't know if it won an Emmy or not, but Probably up there.
I think if anyone won an Emmy, maybe Sophia when she's telling off of, Dorothy about joining the competition. It wasn't, because Sophia was the last one. Estelle Getty was the last one to win an Emmy. So I don't think it was this season. But the original air date is November 2nd, 1985. And
you want me to summarize it?
Yeah, let's do a summary of it.
So basically, this is Sophia is very happy because she's reunited with her Sicilian beau, her old fiance,
her bae,
her bae.
I would call maybe like first love.
Which we're going to discuss. There's some timeline issues with this. But, and also, there's a bowling competition. All the ladies are up in a bowling competition. We find out that Rose is kind of a sociopath. And Blanche has small chest.
That was a beautiful summary. Thank you, Genevieve.
I like that you put a lot of emphasis and emotion on the fact about Augustine being coming into the episode, first love coming in, exposing that Bea Arthur's mother had a life before Bea Arthur. And then something other stuff happened. I don't know. I mean, the majority of the episode focused on these things.
There's a lot of love for bowling, which I fucking hate bowling. I can't think of it I can't think of anything worse than
I thought genocide was so
pedophilia
cool. When I was growing up, I thought bowling was really cool, actually. And they had the nightlight, it was neon bowling.
There's all sorts of different names, cosmic galactic.
And I thought that was so cool, and I wanted to do that, but I don't know. I guess I never did. But then when I got to I think I did bowl in fifth grade. We had a field trip to the bowling alley, but it was just really, it was during the
day. A very educational field trip.
Yeah.
Was it a vocational kind of field trip? Right, guys, you can clean the shoes and make sure that the bowling balls
come. We went to the power plant twice.
Did anybody bring it up? They're we've already been here.
Shut up.
She came here yesterday. Okay, so the episode starts out with Sophia is in the kitchen, and she's making her 14-hour tomato sauce, and she's singing, la, 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 la.
It's a very, very Italian song. Very.
In that the same notes are in some Italian songs. I mean, these notes have been heard before.
These are not in the same
order.
I think if anybody's impersonating Italian singing, that this is what they do. And so she was giving that direction, and she was just la, la.
But that's not even, that's not like the, like if I was, if there's a, make an Italian hum and bam, 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 da, da, da.
Oh, there you go. That's I know,
she's straight messed up.
Yeah, I feel like she's just say random musical notes. They don't have to be in any certain kind of arrangement. Just so people, they'll be sauce, music.
Pepperoni.
She's Italian.
And she's doing Dorothy comes in and she's Ma! And I'm doing, this is Leslie Barton did a, she was on the episode, the last one, and she did, when she called, she did an impersonation of Dorothy calling Ma, and it was very shrilling, and I love it, so I'm going to do it. Ma! Ma, what's that smell? And she's oh, nothing. It's just nothing special. I'm just cooking. He's like, no way. This is your 14-hour sauce. I know it by smell. And so she says, what's the special occasion? And she's just saying, whatever. I'm just making it. She never makes it, apparently. And so, and also.
She did it once before.
Right. Maybe she just left it on the stove, forgot about it for 14 hours. And then. That's my 14-hour sauce. I meant to do that.
It's mostly just charred remains.
And I was thinking, if it's cooked on the stove, you constantly have to stir it or really make it really, really low. I would imagine use a crock pot, maybe a crock pot or a slow cooker or. or even the oven to do a sauce
just,
like that?
She just puts it out in the open air.
Exactly.
Is that what it is? You just you don't cook it. You just leave it out for 14 hours.
Maybe. Then you have maximum waft.
Yeah, well,
I don't think,
and that's how, what brings the other characters in.
That gets into the danger zone. If any listeners have worked in a restaurant, the danger zone is when food is left out, not cooked under a heat lamp or in a refrigerator. That worries me. 14 hours of bacteria being collected in open air.
This is tomatoes and and spices.
Okay.
And also, I don't think anyone eats it in the episode, so I think we're okay.
Blanche.
Blanche does?
She at some point finds bread, like French bread.
Yeah. She has it between her breasts somewhere.
Non-existent breath. Am I right?
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flat-chested bitch.
flat-chested bitch.
I'm just channeling the energy that I got from that. That was the one thing that, as a kid, I didn't really pick up at. That there's so many like flat-chested jokes that like get shot at Blanche, and I have to kind of wonder that like the actress took on the role, and they're just kind of like, okay, well. I mean, she's a whore.
Right.
And then let's look at her. Okay, she doesn't have a lot up top. Okay, let's write that. Okay. small tits.
They were just observing what was happening. Yeah. Like, oh. But there's episodes where they do make her boobs look really big because she has to seduce a guy. And so they'll make her breasts look really vivacious. And so,
look, it's all about attitude and poise with Blanche.
Totally. Yeah, it's not about the size of the breasts. It's about the...
If you're getting with Blanche, you're for the whole package.
and so then Rose comes in, and she's like, oh, is that Chef Boyardee? Like an idiot? Like, really? Like, Chef really Boyardee's like, in a can.
I really like that Chef Boyardee is pretty timeless.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's like, is Chef Boyardee? I'm like, oh, that is still on the shelves. And it's still pretty decent.
I also think it's pretty much illegal to cook Chef Boyardee on a stovetop. I think it has to be microwave or nothing else. Microwave or just eaten raw.
Can I share a confession? Ooh, I've only cooked Chef Boyardee on the stove.
Oh.
What?
I've never, I like that, because like, that's how I grew up, is that you like...
You're from an Italian, authentic Italian family.
I'm a pretty authentic Italian family.
You just sing when you cooked it.
And then somebody watched it, oh, are you making some Chef Boyardee? Like, si, a buca de pepo.
This is the alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. You have the A's and the E's and the IOUs. That's the only way that I knew how to cook it was put it in a pot and then turn the stove up to high until it bubbles, and then you can eat it. That was my cooking experience.
I always thought... I didn't grow up with Chef Boyardee, but because I grew up in Mexico.
It's the Mexican equivalent.
I don't know if I did. I mean, there must have been that in Mexico, but we just didn't eat it.
Is it Chef Boyardee with sombrero?
Yeah, it's...
El Chef Boyardee.
That's Italian, but it's the Chef Boyardee.
It's like an angry Italian.
Chef... I never developed a taste for Chef Boyardee, and so when I eat it now, I'm like, it's too sweet. It just the tomato sauce tastes really sweet to me, so I don't like it.
You don't know the sophisticated
You don't have the palate to take Chef Boyardee.
Well, I also didn't grow up eating Italian food. I grew up just eating fucking tacos all the time.
Fucking tacos.
Fucking tacos.
Like, when I came to the U.S., I was like, Mexican food? This is just normal food. What are you talking about, Mexican food? Like, so that was kind of weird to me. But, okay, so then...
Chef Boyardee.
Blanche comes in with a fucking bowling ball bag and just like, guess what, girls? And then she pulls out a bowling ball, which...
Surprise!
Wasn't really a special bowling ball. It was like... red, like black red.
It was probably something you had to see in person to pick up the minor details.
I think it was just Blanche picking up a ball. putting a ball in her hand.
Look, guys, I can carry something. And then
this is the second biggest ball I've ever seen.
And Dorothy goes,
"Oh, Blanche, you whore."
Blanche, your hole, your balls. Well, Dorothy goes, I don't know, Blanche. You have to put on the other earring for us to find out. And that was good.
Blanche is like, oh, you.
You're so sarcastic, and I enjoy your jabs.
And then, like, Sophia's like, I love this sauce. If it was a person, I would totally fuck it. Or she had something like that.
This sauce is so good, I would get naked and make love to it. I remember that line because I was like, how else do you make love? I mean, you can... I'm not going to, like, critique people how they have sex.
Right.
But, like, when you, like, I'm going to, like, maybe, like, unzip my fly and then kind of, like, look around, make sure nobody's watching.
Well, I think, like, what she does is she puts the pot on the floor, opens her dress up, and just ducks... And lets, like, the whiff go inside her.
That is the
like,
13th hour.
It's low cut, baby.
So you guys, that's the real danger zone.
That's the danger.
The only thing, like,
bacteria.
The immediate imagery in my head when you say that is, like, somebody taking a Arby's roast beef sandwich and then just slowly dipping it into marinara sauce and then pulling it out and then an old woman going, I'd make love to this sauce.
I'm really disturbed now.
I just imagine an old lady's vagina looks like a Arby's double meat.
A big Montana.
Is that what it's called?
And not from like the commercial perspective. Kind of like the one that's been sitting in a bag for a few.
I'm pretty sure that's what the meats are.
It's just Arby's meat thrown into the pot. Okay, and so Blanche is like, I'm really excited about the bowling tournament, and me and Rose had so much fun last time. And Rose just, like, gets really tense, and she's like, yeah, we had fun. And then...
Something is wrong.
She didn't have fun.
I really want to, like, note that, like, Rose has a 1,000-yard stare that, like, would rival most, like, Vietnam veterans. Yeah. Where she's just like, I've seen some shit.
Right. So Rose's just like facial expressions are really on point. And so Dorothy's like, dude, I'm a good bowler. Why don't we bowl together, Ma? You're like a good bowler too. And then Sophia's like, I'm busy. And she's like, busy doing what? Dorothy says that. And then she's like, she hands her a telegram. Because it existed back then, and
they exist now.
Do they exist
yeah,
today?
Yeah, you can get a telegram. Like, you can get one right now.
Whoa. Can someone send us a telegram?
Yeah.
Please, listeners.
Okay, guys, please send us a telegram.
No
address
honestly,
is going to be given.
Honestly,
to send
if
us one.
Anyone sends a telegram to the three of us, we... I will seek you out, and then I will thank you, just because the amount of, like, research needed to do that, I have to imagine, it's fairly sizable.
I think you have to just go to Western Union.
Yeah, Western Union.
And then, because that's where they have them.
No, it's not just, like, the logistics of it. Oh. It's also going to, you have to go to a grocery store, because that's the only place I know where Western Union is at.
A Safeway.
And then you're, excuse me. All of these other people have very modern problems, but I would like to send a telegram to a Genevieve Rice and an Anthony Desamito. And then, like, what does it say? Hello. Stop. How are you? Stop. Question mark.
Then you're like, please stop.
Whatever telegram you guys send us, we'll send you, for real, we'll send you a special prize.
Right. We'll send you a...
We'll send, Maybe a shoulder pad?
A shoulder pad, yeah. We have shoulder pads. Yay!
I really hope I'm not.
My friend Kim Porter gave me a bunch of shoulder pads to give out to the guests. So we have to remember to give Justin. You'll be the first one to get a shoulder pad.
Or we keep forgetting about it.
Keep forgetting to give them out. Okay.
It's Zed.
Zed! Oh. I said Justin.
You know what? It's a dual identity if anyone's out there. And really, if you're going to be sending a telegram, they're not going to be able to find Zed Phillips unless they checked the massive Twitter person. No, there's 200 followers. I don't really think
they
that's
can send
much.
A Twitter telegram to us at TiffBab.
I don't think that's much
of a telegram.
That's just a tweet. That's just a tweet. I'm not rewarding you for a tweet.
It's
guys.
A tweet with like a themed hashtag.
Okay, and so Augustine Bagatelli says, "Hey, dude, I'm coming."
What's up, bitch?
Hey, what's up, bitch? I'll be in town. Hope to see ya.
Booty draw. Tell
hashtag there's, fuck time.
There's like a dick made out of like text.
Okay. And then Sophia's like, yeah, we used to be engaged. And then like Dorothy's like, what? What the fuck? You were engaged before dad or something? And then Blanche is like, oh, you have a pass. Why? Well, Sophia has a pass while sticking bread into a tomato sauce. Oh, and she's like, and then Sophia's like, yeah, I got a pass, except I have a pass too, except in order to get through it, I didn't need penicillin.
Oh,
burn.
But yeah.
Well, she probably did.
I love that Blanche just kind of accepts it, and she's just like, that's a good drug.
Yeah.
It's
when they
much better.
That's one thing they do. When they slut shame her, she just takes it. She's like, I'm going to own this slut shaming. You go, girl.
I bowed a lot of dudes. I don't know what do you want to do? You just fucking jealous. You fucking basic ass bitch.
Don't be jelly, basic ass bitch. With your basic ass 14-hour sauce that I'm eating.
Motherfucker, it took you 30 minutes to open the can. Oh.
So, okay, then Sophia's like, yeah, we were each other's first love, and then he went... I never heard from him again after he went to the war. The war happened. And so that is where the issue comes
yes.
in.
Yes. Okay. All right. World War One, 1914 and 1918.
4 years.
Sophia was born in 1905.
Right.
So she would have been at best 13 years old.
Around between the ages of 10 and 14, if the war happened, then she probably was 10 or 11 when they were making out and or fucking, whatever they were doing. They're probably fucking.
They were definitely fucking. These are Italians.
They hung out a lot. And so I don't know what the age limit for the war was in Italy back in the day. But I'm pretty sure that guy must have been at least 18 years old or younger when they were fucking.
He's probably 35.
Yeah, right? Right?
That or it was like some other war. I'm sorry, guys. We don't know Italian war history that well.
The other war, this would have been World War II. In World War II, Italy got into that in 1941 or 42, and they were in the war also for like 4 years. And at that time, Sophia would have been 35 years old. Dorothy was already born because Dorothy was born in 1930, so and living in Brooklyn, so it had to be World War One.
I just want you to know the amount of research that you both have poured into this is... quadruple the amount of times, because I think that the writers wrote the war and most people accept it like, oh yeah, because she's old. Yeah.
Because she's old, the war.
Remember that? Yeah. You remember how like there was a war and then old people always talk about it? Mm. Yeah, that's it. That's what she's doing there, eh?
Genevieve and I refuse to suspend her disbelief.
Yeah.
And we're going to say that she was 10 years old getting fucked by an 18-year-old. Or she was cheating on her husband at 35 with a 10-year-old Dorothy. Fucking this dude. Either World War One or World War Two.
I gotta say,
that, either way, that guy's either a pedophile or a mistress.
That
I'm saying pedophile.
Or pedophile. He told her there was a war going on, and that's how he skipped town.
Dude, and she believed it.
Yeah, and she's just like, yeah, there's probably a war. There was a war before.
I mean, I guess. I mean, like, Sicily is kind of like a sovereign nation ish.
Lady Sovereign Nation?
Yeah, okay. I did some research on it. Right. Is technically Sicily.
You're like,
please
pick this up, Genevieve. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, I mean,
technically, Sicily is part of Italy, but they have an autonomous government, kind of like Hong Kong and China.
And like myself, because I'm an autonomous woman.
And according to Wikipedia, the demographics are 98% Italian. So basically, Sicily is a part of Italy. Because I looked that up too. I was like, is Sicily even in World War One?
Yeah, they definitely were. They were in both wars. All those fucking European countries were fighting. They're like sisters fighting. Okay, so let's just land on Augustine Bagatelli was telling Sophia's vagina at 10 years old. That was a horrible pun joke, sorry. And so he was probably fucking little girls, and maybe Sophia did need penicillin. I'm just assuming. Okay. Because she was also, we stated earlier in the podcast that there was another time issue where Sophia was fucking someone at 7 years old. So she was
a pepperoni salesman.
So that story like doesn't check out either, and so we just assume her vagina was.
That's just how Italy works.
Italy works out
over in Italy. Like it's open game. You know what? You see it, you go for it, whatever.
You have a cigarette afterwards. It's fine.
you have some sauce.
Right. Okay. And so, what happens next?
We mentioned Rose walks in there, but I also want to mention when Rose walks in, she's wearing her bowling jersey, which looks like she just got off her shift at a hot dog on a stick.
Okay, so that's the second scene. That's the next scene. Oh, we can move into that.
I think the next scene we see
Dorothy and Sophia in the living room.
We see and Sophia is in her finest
black.
She's
this big black funeral outfit.
We're fresh off the credits. That's
she is in fierce funeral wear, and she knows it.
She's looking hot in her funeral outfit. I'm sure she has tons of them because she's seen a lot of people die.
all those older, mature lovers she had. Fucked her as a child.
All the Augies that fucked her as a child. So Sophia's wearing black, and I think it's probably she's mourning her early virginity being lost, probably.
This black represents my innocence being lost
super early.
She sounds Russian, but she's really Italian. She's super Italian.
And so Dorothy's just like, Ma, like, you look like you're going to a funeral. And she's like, and Sophia's like, good, he'll know I'm available.
Good point, by the way.
Right, great point. Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's what people look for when they're like, I haven't seen you in such a long time. Oh, you've experienced death. Mm-hmm. Oh, that turned me on.
I think that's what, like, okay, so I want to comment about that, but Augie comes in. Oh, Augie's at the door. Does Rose come in this scene? Not yet.
Yeah, Rose comes in a little later. Yeah.
Okay, Rose comes in a little later.
Rose comes in.
Oh, yeah, but Augie comes in, and Sophia wants to answer the door because she doesn't want anyone to know. She doesn't want Augie to know she has arthritis. So she's like, fucking cobble.
She's like, my joints work.
She runs to the door, and then she opens it, and Augie's standing there, and he's like the cutest old guy.
He's so cute. He's got like white hair. He's so short. He's got like a little bow tie, and like a cream suit.
I come from a different time.
Yeah, he's a little Italian man. Adorable. He looks like I said this earlier, but he looked like the chess player from the Pixar short, but even cuter. Even more adorable.
Like more approachable.
More approachable. He'll give you a hug. But let's not forget, he's a child molester.
that's what we decided.
That's how he gets away with it.
It's like the Bill Cosby situation.
He's a child.
Bill Cosby.
Not because you're like, oh, he's so cute with the bibbidi boppities, but he's done some shit.
Yeah, and like Michael Jackson, everybody just is like, okay, you look accepted, you look acceptable by society. I'm gonna go diddle little kids, you know, and so that's probably why you shouldn't accept anybody in society.
Well, yeah, that,
fully.
You can trust no one. That's the takeaway from this podcast.
Trust no one. Everyone has their vices and their dark secrets. Anything you enjoy will eventually be crushed by the artist revealing that they did something terrible.
And he sits down next to her, and it's really awkward and quiet, and I think it was the shame that they were experiencing from this molestation.
I'm sorry.
He wanted to say, I'm sorry.
He either molested her or he lied about a war.
Lied about a war, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
There was no war. I thought you were pregnant, and I just kind of made up a war. Mm-hmm. But you didn't do the research, so that's really on you.
You should really know your Sicilian war history.
I mean, if somebody says that a war is happening, you think that more than one person would say it. And that not just the guy that like diddled you after bocce ball.
Bocce ball diddle.
I'm just foreshadowing.
I think that's what happens when you lose at bocce ball. You get diddled and get away. Bocce, bocce, bocce.
Bocce.
Okay. And so they talk about like, oh, whose husband and wife died first. And Sophia's like, I've been in mourning for 22 years.
Yeah, it's like a mourning dick measuring contest.
Yeah. Oh my. But Augie wins because his wife died 31 years ago.
Oh, in your face.
In your fucking face. Yeah.
She died lonelier longer.
It was totally natural, too. Right?
I drove her to kill herself from all my child porn that she found.
I mean, just pulling back a little bit. As a wife, I think there's nothing more crushing as you get in the older senior years as finding out that your husband is a huge pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
And you're literally the polar opposite of what he wants.
Like Jerry Sandusky.
Whereas it's like, I thought that just because we're getting older, that's why like everything's like simmered down. He's like, no. It's because you don't have like that taint of innocence that I like to take away as...
You're not even the right gender.
I'm just saying. Oh, Augie.
We're right. Drawing some really dark conclusions about this really sweet-looking old man. And really what amounts to be kind of a cute little courtship.
Yeah, it's super adorable. We're
a lifetime in the making.
So they go for a walk, maybe so they can air their shame and not in the house. And so
on the streets of Miami.
Maybe they go fuck. I don't know. Like they probably went and fucked inside a bush or somewhere. What's that?
Oh, I was just say worth noting. In the opening credits, they showed images of a beach, and then I was like, oh shit, I better Google where this is happening, because in my memory flashbacks, I never realized that this was happening in Miami. But weirdly, once I found out, I was like, it makes sense.
It makes so much sense because there's a lot of sexually active senior citizens in Miami. So
yeah, STDs mm-hmm. are prevalent in the senior community.
Yeah, yeah.
And shoplifting.
And shoplifting.
You have nothing to lose. Fuck it, you know? Literally. Literally.
Okay. So, oh, yeah, and let's not forget Dorothy's like, I'll be in the other room. You guys are going to get fresh.
I look at her like, and then fuck?
What?
We're going to get fresh.
We're going to, so you better stay in there.
I think that's like the equivalent of somebody saying like, y'all best behave before the swag gets up in this biznatch.
And then Rose comes in and she goes into the kitchen and she just, like you said, Zed Phillips, not Justin. Don't ignore the Justin part.
Ooh.
Oh, der. She's wearing what it looks like a hot dog on a stick uniform. It's great.
Which I think, like, when she was, like, you know, in every, like, superhero movie, they, like, the origin, they always have that moment where they're, like, trying to figure out their, like, outfit. Like Spider-Man's like, okay, we need the webs over, like, my entire body. And Batman's like, go to the fucking bat on the chest. And then Rose is like, I like hot dogs.
Rose's origin is hot dog on a stick.
Sitting in the mall, like, I really like bowling. But
hot dogs, really. Hot that's dogs. My first love.
Hot dogs.
I like primary colors, too. So Dorothy...
Well, who doesn't?
I guess she could also be like a spokesman for Google Chrome if she wants.
That's true. She could have.
Especially in 1985.
You guys aren't going to get this.
The future Google Chrome sponsor was Betty White.
You guys aren't going to get this, but like your kids are going to love this. Ah, it's a Back to the Future.
Okay, so Rose, Rose is like, I signed you up for the tournament with somebody. It doesn't say who, and then goes into the kitchen. And then Dorothy's like, okay, you're not going to tell me what's who you happening? Signed me up. And then they're in the kitchen and Blanche comes in and she's like, oh, she's like, I'm stunned. Just stunned.
I am a stone.
I'm stunned. And then absolutely, there's no other word to describe how I feel, but a stunned.
She's having the vapors.
The vapors?
Basically.
That when she comes in and she's like, I'm just stunned. Like I get these like flashbacks to True Blood because like
oh, I didn't watch
like
True
that
Blood.
You didn't want okay like
I know what you're talking about. Like Sookie has
like Sookie Stackhouse. Like that's what I felt like she would say. When she, I can't believe Bill said that. I'm absolutely stunned. I'm so stunned.
No like, one no. True Blood's like no Southern people in a movie, like basically in a show about Southern people. And it's just people just way overdoing it, just constantly. And they're vampires. The fucking worst.
My favorite.
Everybody raves about it, though.
No, nobody raves.
True Blood, really?
No, True Blood. Like,
Grit or True something?
True Grit, maybe.
True Grit? True Grit.
And something with True.
True Detective.
True Detective.
The Truth About Cats and Dogs is what I'm thinking about.
Now that's a good movie.
Okay, no, yay.
If
people in it.
This is, I want to say this as completely serious as possible,
mm-hmm.
because I know somebody listening to this right now is probably a huge TV fan. Mm-hmm. Maybe they started watching True Blood. Maybe they're into like the first season and then they're like, oh my God, this is really good. You should stop at season 4. Just saying right now, stop right there. You're going to hurt yourself if you go any further because you're going to waste so much of your life.
Wait, True Blood was at season stopped at season 4?
No. Guys. Yes, it stopped at season 4. That was the last season.
You're
going
to confuse all the old ladies that listen to this. Okay.
Same thing with Dexter.
It's pretty much the same situation where at a certain point it became so ridiculous and terrible that you're just like, that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why like Golden Girls is so beautiful is that every episode is a treasure.
Let's bring that back.
I don't think there's a, like an episode of Golden Girls where you're just like, this is so fucking ridiculous. I can't believe that B. Arthur is now a like other dimensional being that is controlling all of the necromants.
And no CGI things.
Yeah. Very gets really ridiculous.
The directors involved in Golden Girls probably made that choice. Like, okay. We should make this very believable. No CGI.
All right. So Rose admits to... Oh, Blanche is like, Somebody switched me and Rose and put Rose and Dorothy, and now I don't have a partner. And then Rose admits to doing it, and then Dorothy's like, how could you do something like this? And then Rose, that's when, like, she starts going crazy. And
the darkness comes out.
The darkness comes out.
And her eyes go dark.
Her soul is filled with hate. And then she's like, I did it. I just want to win. Sorry, I'm so competitive. I had a problem in high school. I had to switch high schools because I injured some girl in field hockey.
Yeah, I think that's what she said. She's like, a field hockey incident.
Yeah.
Like, the way she says it, like, field hockey incident, as if, like, you would cut to her eyes, and then there's just, like, echoes of, like, no, don't!
And she's just, like, hitting her with a hockey stick.
But
just, like,
hitting her in the
so many splinters!
Shoving the puck in her mouth. Eat it!
I think it's a ball.
And then, is it? I don't know. Field hockey is a ball.
I don't know field hockey.
I don't know sports.
Field hockey is a very aggressive sport that's really... It's the weirdest aggressive sport that's entirely for women.
Oh.
Like, for some reason, like, if a guy does field hockey, like, whoa.
You think, girl.
Oh, no. If a guy does field hockey, it becomes lacrosse. But if a girl does it, it's field hockey.
I don't know.
Like, men are from Mars, men women are from Venus.
Or when, like, when women play baseball, it's softball, that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah, and yeah. So then... Blanche reveals that it's that she's actually gonna pair up with Olga because she found out about Sonia sleeping. Let me preface this. They are twins, the Nielsen twins,
and they're really good.
They're really good.
They're hotshot.
Just to give you guys that, you never see them. You never see
them. Yeah, we never see them. They are the hotshot of bowling old lady tournaments, and so. Olga.
Nielsen twins coming up to Lane. So,
they're identical twins. And so
probably
Sonia fucks
assassins.
Lars, pretending to be Olga, and they get into a huge fight. Also, we never see Lars. But there's a lot we find out about Lars. And so as we get into the episode.
All of those names sound like Eastern European assassins.
I think they're like Norwegian. There are a lot of Norwegian... Or like kind of Scandinavian.
Right. Yeah. Nielsen, Sonia Nielsen. And so there's a lot of, the Wilkinson.
Volvo dealership,
Viking funerals. Okay.
Those writers really built out an entire world outside of what's happening in the
episode.
You don't even know how many stories are told that we never see.
There was an IKEA storyline that we just... totally missed.
Right. There's been storylines where someone's has a ski accident and we never see it, but it's verbally are told and we have to use our imaginations to know what's happening in the Golden
Sometimes
Girls.
Sometimes you got to connect the dots.
And then Dorothy accepts Rose begs Dorothy to be in her team. Even though Dorothy really didn't want to.
Oh, Dorothy.
And she's like, come on, please, Dorothy. If you don't, if you say yes, nobody will get hurt. It's so creepy. She's just like, and it was really weird, like, for the writers to make her really competitive, I thought. Did you feel that way? Like,
I thought it was pretty great.
You thought it was great? I felt out of place. Until the second time I watched it, I felt like it was good. But when I first watched it, I was like, I don't know. Minnesota, nice.
She's someone
people.
You wouldn't suspect,
right?
Yeah,
so it was like I think it was so jarring because like you would let her into your house.
Yeah,
she lives with you,
and then you did what?
Oh my god! You don't even the next episode. It gets nuts. Like she goes insane. It's, but okay. Well, we won't get into that. But
throughout the season, Rose eventually descends into madness.
Descends into madness. I actually wrote that somewhere. Okay, and so. The next scene is Dorothy is changing pots on the table outside, which you're right. It makes sense that she's out there on the table.
Yeah, out of all the things that you take issue with
is that she's not like in the garden, but
it's a condo in Miami. There's
a house.
It's a house.
It's a house. Yeah. It's a single family home.
Mm-hmm. I know. Is the only backyard that I know is that patio that they're doing this transplant scene between pots. Is there what I know of the Golden Girls household is that there's the main living room, and then you go to the right, and visually, there's the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And it's then, in the back, like the yeah. sliding doors in the back. That's where the patio is.
Of the main living room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, there's that hallway. Mm-hmm. That's where all the bedrooms are at.
Right. Well, they...
But I'm still, is there a backyard that I don't recollect?
Okay. It doesn't...
Only in our hearts.
We've never talked about... this and I on the show, but the layout of the house,
the architecture,
and so it they did a 3D model of it online, and there was a lot of issues with it because it didn't make sense that when you walk in the door that the backyard is on the left side, it should be in the back. And also originally I felt like Blanche's room was on the left side, on the left wing of the stage, but then now it's on the right side, and the bedrooms are all in one hallway.
Yeah, because I feel like there is like another hallway. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the living room to the left, I thought there was like another hallway.
There is, and that's where Blanche's room used to be, unless she's just hanging out there for a while.
And also I found out, this is what I learned on Wikipedia, Blanche owns the home.
She's
the owner.
Right. For the longest time, I remember watching it going like, who owns this?
They're just squatting. And also, like, Blanche's room would be where the garage is, so that would not, unless...
Maybe it's a converted garage.
That's, you're very right, Miss Genevieve Rice.
Four people living in Miami, like, the square footage is, the okay. cost is probably got to be pretty high.
I think you're right, but the house, it was gifted.
It was Blanche's house from her husband. I think he made a good salary.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It was like dead husband money. What do you call it? Alimony or something?
No, no. I guess it would be will and or.
Like not, trust.
Right.
Trust. Like, yeah. I was going to say bereavement, but that's just kind of like the emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bereavement money.
It's sad money.
Okay. So then Sophia comes in. And Dorothy's like, she had to like, I don't know why she chose to wear a long sleeve sweater to do this scene. Cause she has to pull her like sleeves all the way back and they're super ruffled. And she's just like you said, she's like a superhero changing the pot. Like she's changing a plant that she bought at the store into a pot.
I gotta get this over here.
She's like, I got a superhero.
It's gonna grow too big and it doesn't match with everything I got.
She can't have anything bigger than her. And so Sophia walks in and she's like, oh, I've had a great time with Augie. And then we went out to dinner. It's so nice of him.
They took it to a cafeteria in the mall.
It was a cafeteria at the mall.
Which is beautiful.
Which is what an old lady would call it that, right? Like they wouldn't call it the food court.
No, it's...
You have so many options at this restaurant.
I think it was a hospital cafeteria, and she just called it the mall. The gift shop is the mall.
Whatever, they have a whole swirling tray of pies and cakes and Jell-O.
And so she's like, he's been super nice. Every time I get up to go to the bathroom, he tries to get up. Love that joke. It was really good.
He tries. Gentlemen!
There's some gem jokes in this episode I really liked.
He's gonna die.
Okay, so she's like, so Dorothy's like, Sophia's like, guess what? He wants me to go back to fucking Italy. And verbatim.
It's gonna be so fucking sweet.
And Dorothy's like, what? She's like, not for good. I'm just gonna go to the San Junipero Festival where we met, and she's like,
where he first penetrated me,
where he broke my young women hymen
when I was 10. No, not because 7 was somebody else.
7. So yeah, so she did fuck someone else 3 years before that.
So she was experienced.
So she was a little experienced, probably. Okay.
She had passed.
Maybe not experienced necessarily in love as much trauma.
Yeah, she was traumatically experienced. And so Dorothy forbids her to go.
You can't, Ma.
Ma, you can't go. You had a stroke. You had high blood pressure. And I was like,
it's pretty dark. She's like, you could die in another country.
She says, like, you're not the woman you used to be. And, like, the crowd should have been like, ooh. Golden Girls, you missed out on a good ooh moment.
It's really the audience that missed out. They're just listening like, yeah, she's an old bitch. She's probably going to die.
The audience is tired.
I honestly, when I watched it the first time, I was like, I'm siding with Bea Arthur on this. Just because, like, she is older. And it's mostly because I had like the sitcom mindset where I was just like, Augustine's not going to be a good guy.
Right. Right.
Because like nobody is going to be pulled from the cast.
Right.
So like she can't go and they don't have the budget to bring in Augustine as a regular feature.
I hear you. But like earlier, Dorothy wanted her to be in her bowling team. She wanted her to like pick up a fucking 20-pound bowling ball, haul it across a fucking room. And for hours on end, she won't let her go on a plane. Like, that's kind of dumb. Like,
let's just add in, like, probably at that bowling alley, this was just like everybody was smoking wherever the fuck they wanted. So she was gonna be hauling.
There was a men's locker room, it would have been just as dangerous.
Yeah, like, there are so many variables at play that the health department.
Lots of stairs.
There's multiracial friends. You get into a lot of trouble.
There are nachos. And a turkey delight.
Turkey delight.
And so then Rose comes in and she's like, Sophia's like, hey, she won't let me go be with Augie. And Rose is like, what are you talking about? You won't let her, Dorothy, you won't let Sophia be with her first love? That's horrible. And so then I believe Blanche comes in.
Yeah.
And she's devastated.
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 And that Bill Compton has refuted her affections.
And what does she say? She says...
just devastated. And then that's when Bea Arthur digs. And like,
Olga Nielsen and Sonia Nielsen are back together because Lars died, slumped over his desk. This poor fucking guy. Like, for reals, he fucks the wrong woman, like, by accident, and then he fucking dies. Like,
it was not by accident.
And the Nielsen twins don't give a fuck. They're like, we're still gonna go bowl. Like, they, like, the guy you supposedly loved just died, and you're still gonna do this bowling tournament?
But they came together. They came together. Mm-hmm. It was about sister togetherness. They decided, we're gonna do this bowling tournament. We're gonna do it as a family. So
maybe Lars wanted bowling tournament. That's what Lars would have wanted. It was his dying wish, the Viking funeral, and for them to join together and finish this bowling tournament. Okay. And so what happens next? So Rose team... it's discovered that Rose teamed up with Sonia before that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Rose...
I skipped that part.
Rose secretly turned... Yeah, she got with Sonia.
No, she... Yeah, she got up with one of them. I forget if it was Sonia or Olga. And so she dumped Dorothy... And Dorothy's like, I can't believe you begged me to be on your team. Then you dumped me for that Nielsen twin. And then after it's discovered that they died, that Lars died, that Lars died.
Someone dies.
Excuse me. It's a recurring theme in Golden Girls. Death.
Death, right.
Mortality.
And then...
wait, before we go any further... Uh-huh. I know you're going to be watching more episodes than I will ever. You really should keep a death tally count. So at a certain point, you're like, by the way, just so you know, the Golden Girls have known this many people who have died in their lifetime.
Mm.
And then
15
also,
souls lost.
There's been we've done like 6 episodes, and I'm sure like 30 people have died so far. Okay. And so, okay, this
Game of Thrones has nothing on fucking golden girls.
So Lars Lindquist, that's his last name. I think he was probably murdered. I mean, slumped over a desk. He was poisoned by Olga. She got jealous. She fucking poisoned him. Okay, so yeah, and they never mention anybody else in the tournament. There's just 6 people in it. Like, it's just really weird.
There's nobody else worth mentioning.
Right. And okay, like, amateurs. Yeah, and they don't even specify if it's like a women's tournament or anything. It's just the tournament, like
the tournament of senior citizens that happens to just be right. Women.
And then Rose says, "Gee, Blanche, it's too bad we have no one to bowl with now. Come on, Dorothy, let's go to the bowling alley. We need to get some practice." And then Dorothy's like, "Oh, fuck no, not gonna bowl with you now. You dumped me." Right, and that's when. Like, at this point, I'm like, where the fuck is this episode going? And then Sophia gets up, and then Sophia gets up, and she's like, "I'll show you who's the woman she used to be, who's not the woman she used to be." And she joins Rose to be in the tournament. And
out of spite.
Out of fucking spite. I'm like, you have company. You're going to go be in a bowling tournament? Very good... host.
I mean, he's like new in the country and has no idea how everything works, but he's like, we've got to go do this thing at this very specific cultural trend.
Okay, so Blanche, the next scene, Blanche is sleeping on the table in the kitchen.
She's in a chair leaning on the table.
Sleeping on the table.
Just so if anybody hasn't seen the episode, she isn't just like naked on the table.
She's just naked. She's been fucking the 14, 14. I was gonna say year old sauce, but 14.
14 like, hours she's sauce. Like draped on it like some like lounge singer on a piano.
There's cigarette butts everywhere. It's been a good night. So Dorothy's like, we gotta go, Blanche.
That's one of the things I like is that she keeps like, she opens the door, "We gotta go." And then she like leans back in and then the door closes. And then like, and then the door opens again. "Nah, Blanche, you really gotta go." And then like, lets the door close again. Which, by the way, I feel current architectural trends don't have the swinging kitchen door.
I feel like, yeah, most houses don't have that. I think it's more of a restaurant thing.
Right.
It's like a commercial property.
Right. Like, they should have just not had a door there if this was like...
Listen,
if they really thought of
people are moving so much between this room. There needs to be a door, but we don't want to deal with
we
it.
Want it to swing.
Just if we could push it out of the way, just push.
We don't have time for doorknobs. Life is too short.
Here's a cut. 2 seconds from the script. How much are we gonna do it?
We're much too classy for beads.
Okay, so Dorothy whispers into Blanche's ear while she's still sleeping on the table.
"I'm gonna kill you.
I'm gonna fucking kill you." No, she whispers, "Get up. My wife's gonna be home any minute." And that's what gets her up. She gets up, she gets her shoes, and she's like, "Oh, Dorothy, you fucking bitch. That was a fucked up
thing.
That is
a real threat in my life. A constant threat. You scared me."
Right.
Oh my God.
So they get up to go practice. It's 6 in the morning. And lo and behold, fucking Sophia and Rose are coming in. They got up even earlier to go bowl.
By the way, how early is this bowling alley?
Yeah, that's a
they must
debate.
Have gotten up like at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a debate that we like. To what is early to a surly, senior citizen?
Right.
Where it's like, 6 a.m. is kind of like, that's your baseline. And so then, right. Like, I would say, like, my baseline for getting up is probably like noon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, right. So then, like, 8 a.m., ooh, that's really, like, real early. And then, so, like...
So 6 a.m. is really early. So they must get up at 8, I don't know.
Because, like, it's... Judging by the light in the room, it's definitely gotta be, like, 6 and or 8, because it's, like, very bright, probably... During the
it's
summer.
It's got a blue tint to it. Like, it's very
It's a Miami sun. You got to take that in consideration.
Depending on where the sun is in the sky and the latitude.
But we didn't have those latitude, longitude, sun positions.
1985 was a different time.
Right. They didn't have those back then. And so that's where they make the bets. Like when Sophia's like, you want to make this more interesting? I fucking win. Then I get $1,200 of your money, Dorothy, so I can go to Italy. And then Dorothy's like, no way, dude. No. And then like, then Sophia's like, chicken. And then
sounds like somebody's yella.
And then Dorothy's like, game on, it's on. So now the stakes are even higher. Yay!
Did we already talk about how like $1,200 sounds like a very appropriate price to fly to Italy?
Yeah, but today in
today,
30 years later.
I can't like. I don't know if the writers wrote it going like, oh, $1,200.
We need to make this episode last 30 years.
Yeah. Because if somebody said, like, you need a round-trip flight to Sicily for $1,200, I mean, wow. Right. That is really fair in a post-9/11 economy.
But Sophia is very fucking, very smart. And she knows that if the fare is like $800... So you can get $400 out of Dorothy. Oh. She has some spending money.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's very... She's the one that does the most, like...
Did not consider the manipulation factor.
Yeah, she's a mom, remember? Okay, so... and moms manipulate. Mom-mipulate.
also your takeaway from this podcast.
I'm adding that to Urban Dictionary. But, and then... fucking Rose is like, Blanche, you want to make this interesting too? You want to do a side bet? And she's like, everything you own is so ugly, I wouldn't have anything to that I would want to wear from you. Oh, and also, I forgot this part. Dorothy gets her antique silver earrings.
Yeah, that's what she wants.
Return.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
and that's what leads up to...
If I win, I get some fucking nice jewelry.
Some nice jewelry.
That I've been eyeballing in that jewelry box.
Yeah, you're fine. Clip-on earrings.
Right.
When are you going to croak?
Right. And she's like, luckily she dies in the plane and I can get those earrings.
But okay. I do like her. She's like, I don't need anything of yours, you basic bitch.
She might as well have said that because then Rose like turns around and snarls like. Okay,
my Minnesota stylings.
Okay, so the next scene is they're at the bowling alley, and it is a women's tournament. There's lots of women wearing members-only jackets that are multi-tone colored, bright colored, coiffy hair, and so it's a women's tournament.
Coffee hair. Tournament.
Yeah, that's what that means. And so it's like a 24-hour bowling place, according to the outside. And
there was an establishing shot that said that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I want to say, like, I
there was an establishing shot of the bowling alley.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah. No, it was a side of the house.
24-hour bowling center.
Which makes sense why how they could get up so early. So they did think... Yeah, continuity.
Okay, okay.
Okay. And then...
I'm gonna watch that episode again.
Watch it again just for that. Okay, and so Dorothy and Blanche are in aisle 7. And they're like, oh my God. Blanche is like, oh my God, this is my favorite aisle because it has I can look right into the men's locker room. Which, really, bowling alleys do not have locker rooms. I don't know if Miami they do. Maybe they sweat it. Extra.
Look, he's taking off his Dockers.
Ooh.
He's sliding that polo shirt off.
He's sliding the suspenders off.
Oh, and his belt.
Oh, he's got his wig off too.
He's seductively eating nachos.
I think I can make out his penis below his gut. Maybe.
That's
so gross.
So okay, and so they come in. Sophia and Rose, they come in, and everybody has like giant beach towels around there. Like they're gonna sweat. What, like
also, just B. Arthur is just wearing gigantic clothing.
And I mentioned before, like it looked like she just found like this morbidly obese woman's like bowling jersey and just like, this is what I'm gonna wear. It's gonna hang down.
I think we've established that that's just her look, and that's just she just decided that she wants to look like a tent, and that's the best look for.
Like, I think that like a single pole and a like tent. Just like me, like a circus tent that hasn't been finished. That's the kind of look I want. When guys look at me, they're like, I bet you eventually those carnies are gonna finish establishing the foundation.
I bet she can keep me dry.
Okay, and then okay, so then they're like, why are you in our aisle? The Nielsen twins are supposed to be here. Like, oh, they couldn't make it because of Lars' Viking funeral. Coast Guard kept putting out.
Wasn't it supposed to be yesterday?
Right, yesterday, and like no, the Coast Guard kept putting it out. Which
means there's multiple attempts and the Coast Guard still didn't just tell them to stop?
Right, and miscommunication between the funeral people and the Coast Guard. bad job, Miami. Funeral homes.
That's a terrible funeral home. Yeah, we put them in there.
But a good Coast Guard.
A good Coast Guard, yeah. Okay.
I want to know, there has to be like a pretty good archer that has to do that. Just because... not familiar with the Viking funeral. Yeah,
I didn't know that involved an archer.
Well, yeah, because otherwise you have to use like
maybe they use a fireball.
Yeah, like a remote explosive.
But that torch. Really
that ruins the whole like Viking vibe of it. So you have to have something. You know, you got to get the arrow that you shoot majestically into the air. That's and then like.
Mm. Or they just pour gas on Lars' corpse and then they throw a match and then they jump off the ship.
When you were starting to describe that, I was just imagining it was on a street corner.
So that day, like he's like crisp. Let's try this again.
Fucking Coast Guard.
He's just like ashes at this point.
Well, if he was ashes, I'd be like, okay, job done.
Right. And at this point, like, the stories are so outlandish with Lars. Like, I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, I don't think he exists. He's just Sophia and Lars, Olga.
They just burnt a man in the sea.
Lars was a gigantic man who controlled the ice giants.
Okay, and so then they take off their jackets and they reveal that they're wearing the same outfit.
Yeah, like,
and this is like
Rose
the only thing.
And Bea Arthur's mom.
Yeah, Rose and Sophia are wearing the same outfit that Blanche has been raving about. And this is like
Want to look cute in my bowling outfit.
Right. And that's the only thing at stake for Blanche. It's like looking cute and having a cute bowling ball. And
yeah, they just established that's what Blanche wants. And she hasn't gotten that.
That is what she wants in life, in general. Right.
She just wants people to adore her. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, so far, nobody has found her adoring.
Right. And no one... Well, who's going to... There were no men there. Like, who is she...
Oh, in that locker room.
The locker room. But they weren't... There were no male extras. Maybe, like, one, I think.
I saw a gut in the back.
And he was working the snack bar, most likely.
He was trying to impress that Kristen Wiig lesbian
that was hanging by like the gumball machine.
Yeah, that was it.
Before we go any further, can we talk about the snack bar prices?
Oh yeah, very inexpensive. $1.39 and $1.49 for everything.
Pretty much, like
no hamburgers, $1.39. Sandwiches, 10 cents less. A turkey delight.
Which I assume probably came with the song.
Right.
Oh, totally. That was the delight part.
It's so lovely.
That are mustard.
And then they're just trying to resort to cheap tricks. And then Rose calls Sophia Ma. And then Dorothy gets bewildered. She's like, no
shit
one.
Shit just got real.
Shit just got fucking real.
Nobody tells her that.
No one calls her Ma except me. You got it? Oh, and so they're already playing dirty. And then, the whole we gotta stay calm, cool, and collected thing that Dorothy said before, she didn't abide by that. And so the first person to throw a ball is Sophia. And it's like the slowest, like, bowling.
It's a newbie toss.
Yeah.
Where they just, like, hobble up there and just, like,
She's like the tortoise, like slow and steady wins the race, that kind of deal. And then the cutaway of the ball rolling is like so fuzzy. It's like they threw the camera literally like into a dirty pond, and then they fished it out, and they recorded that scene. Like,
what I like to imagine is that they went to a bowling alley to film it, but then they just got so wasted bowling.
Is that no? We're working for Golden Girls.
I also think it's like impossible to get a clear shot in a real bowling alley. Like, it's just all smoke and grime and like nacho dust and.
That's why Cosmic Bowling is so popular, because you turn down the lights and everything looks so much better.
It doesn't matter who wins. It's like, they should have been Cosmic Bowling, these Golden Girls. Like,
it hadn't happened yet.
Bowling should just be this, like, Cosmic Bowling should be the standard, because, like, any, like, actual bowling is just so depressing.
And this was also before, I mean, they wouldn't have Cosmic Bowling, because this was even before, like, electronic boards, because they were writing down the scores.
Shit.
Old school fucking shit, right?
Yeah. Like,
what did you get? Hold on. The computer is non-existent.
Right.
Yet.
So.
This is like a, like, slightly off topic, but has anybody gone to a bowling alley recently where, like, you go bowling and then on the TV, which I've only seen, they're always like tube TVs. There's no flat screens. And it's always like a mid-90s like graphic that they put up, like, strike blur.
And then I actually went to a bowling alley and then saw like the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball video, but because it had to be like TVY for kids. Like, it was just
it was thrown into a pond.
She was thrown into a pond. It wasn't her naked on a wrecking ball. It was just, the whole video was just that shot of her crying.
The close up.
Sadness is fine. You're nudity, like, is not.
Nudity is not, but you can cry and scream. Okay, and then Dorothy throws a. She tries to throw a ball, a bowling ball, because it's her turn. And then Rose says, "You want another hot dog, Ma?" Because she works a hot dog on a stick.
Oh no! Was it Ma? I thought it was her mom that said, like, do you want something from the snack bar, daughter, or something?
She said, well, it was Rosa says, do you want a hot dog, Ma?
Oh, okay.
And then Dorothy freaks out and throws the ball back. And then
does that still count as a toss?
No, because it didn't touch the pins.
I thought, like, if you crossed the line.
If you cross the line,
then it counts. Oh, okay.
I'm not sure of the logistics of bowling.
We are not up on our bowling rules. If you want to send us a telegram with bowling rules.
But, like, what? Okay, you're right. I'm thinking today, like, what the electronic thing sends it. But no. But they didn't have that. Okay, so then the next scene is the end of the game. And the stakes are even higher. And Rose has Rose goes. She throws a ball, and she goes, "Darn! I left 3 pins. I can't believe it." And they didn't show the footage. Maybe they ran out of 3-pin footage. But and then Blanche is like, "I can't believe you swung." She says, "Oh, I can't believe you swung that past your hips." And they giggle. Dorothy and Blanche giggle.
Was that like a fat joke or an old joke? I couldn't really tell.
I couldn't tell either.
I think it was both.
Old and fat. Mm.
And then Sophia runs in. She's like, "Dude, we're in the lead. If you can make this shot,
yeah, like, you're in the lead. The tournament, like the
tournament.
Because, like, at this point, you're so engrossed in the conflict between the two, you don't realize that there's two other people possibly involved.
There's other teams that could be.
It's probably just them two,
right?
The Nielsen twins that haven't been able to play." Who have racked up
it's just
zero.
Them two. No one gives a fuck about this tournament. And I don't think they realize, like, how tournaments work. Like, I think, like, first all win. I mean, whoever wins the next player. It's brackets.
Exactly.
And with this, it's like, just whoever has the highest score wins the whole thing. Like,
it's some sort of, like, idea that came up at the end of, like, Running Man or Saw, where there's, like, two people, two men, like, oh, whoever has the highest score, kill each other.
Kill each other.
Do it.
Okay, and
Rose would do it.
Yeah, the writers were not aware of the concept of semifinals. And so...
nor Italian Wars.
So Rose knocks down the 2 pins, and she's like, what? And so they're in the lead, and she's like going crazy like a crazy person. We're gonna win! We're gonna win!
Suck my dick!
Suck my dick!
Suck my dick, bitch!
And then Jordy's like, nah-uh. And Rose is like, uh-huh. And then Rose says, because Blanche is next. And Rose is like, I don't know if you knew this, Dorothy, but when the chips are down, a Blanche a chokes.
Like the Cardinals.
I thought you said like a cock. I was
like a big, fat, juicy cock. I mean, like, that's, when I saw that, I was just like the Cardinals. And then I thought about it. I was like, I thought the Cardinals, are they doing well? Is that relevant?
I don't know. Well, there's a Cardinals game going on right now.
We are not sports people.
Yeah. Talking around before.
I hope that they make it past the line and win the tournament. Okay. In the Cardinals game.
And so Blanche knocks down two pins, and
I think there's that moment. Is it the moment that comes up after she hits the two pins?
No. She throws it's a gutter ball.
Yeah.
And Dorothy's like, "What the fuck? It's a gutter ball!
God damn it!
God fucking damn it!
My mom is going to leave the country if you don't get this together.
I'm going to burn you and take your house.
I can't let that pedophile take her anymore.
You don't understand.
He fucked her when she was 10.
And he fucked her in the cafeteria of the mall.
Very sophisticated.
Right. And so Blanche knocks down two pins and she's super proud. And Dorothy's like, what the fuck? That wasn't even like, why are you happy? And she's like, it was a personal trial. And then it's Dorothy's turn and she's like, I got this.
But before, I want to mention though that like there's that moment when she's like, you need to like do this. I believe
yes,
in
I'm
you.
Sorry, yes.
And then like, because when she's talking about like, she chokes and the way that like Blanche is looking forward, I imagine there's gonna be like a flashback where like Blanche's father is killed by a bowling ball. And then like, that's why every time she's like, you need to do it. And then like,
no, Blanche, don't throw the ball.
That's also why she needs to look pretty in a bowling outfit.
I need to look pretty for my father's.
My father
ghost.
Died in bowling shoes.
And so, but then she's just like, do it, you dumb bitch.
Well, I'm going to fucking push you down with the bowling ball, she says.
And like, then she like just throws the ball like, and then runs away.
Right. And so now Dorothy's about to. Dorothy knocks down every pin but the ninth pin.
And yeah, everyone's like, oh, everyone's like, you can't do that. Oh, right. Yeah, I can.
And she's like, fuck yeah, I got this.
And she says some sort of bowling lingo where she's like, oh, number nine pin spare. Nothing to do.
Right. I wrote it down so I can't find it. She says it's a ninth pin to the spare, whatever.
Yeah, which I assume is real.
She says, all I need is a spare or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that's when Augie comes in. Oh. Where the fuck was he?
Hello, I'm Augie.
Did you win? Can you go?
I said, oh, I know you're so good with the bowling. Oh, and your daughter, she is so good too.
And then, that's why she's like, I'm
how can he tell? He can't see the score. It's not even projected.
Right. How did he know that she was good? He just came in.
I glanced at the paper on the table.
I think that's what
you know what? He was in the fucking men's locker room and she could see her bowling good while she was blowing dudes in there. That's what happened.
Oh, Andy blowing.
Blowing
dudes.
Little, no, not just dudes, little boys. Because that's what he likes.
Oh, boy.
Augie, that's why he was late.
Augie up to his old tricks again. I think that's what he says. He's like, oh, like she is so good because you are so good. Because you remember at the grape festival? And then she's like, oh, yes. And he's like, you knock down all the bocce balls.
Of the bocce balls.
The bocce balls.
And grape festival sounds like something you would get really drunk at.
We were real drunk. 10-year-old drunk.
It makes me want to go to Sicily and go to a grape festival. Who wants to fucking play me a bocce ball?
Right. And that was their first kiss, apparently. Too.
Yeah, like, he's like, that was my first kiss. Me too. Meanwhile. She's watching. She's like, what is he saying to her?
So, and he was 18 in his first kiss. Whatever, man, you're lying.
If we follow the timeline suggested
He's 35. Okay, so Dorothy is actually watching this like a creeper. And Blanche is like, go get them, Dorothy. Whoop their butts. And then Dorothy's like, can't fucking do this.
Whoopsies.
Whoops. Throws a ball. And it's a gutter ball. But like...
the shot that they use is not like an obvious gutter ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was pretty good because like if I was... and then it's
right.
like...
it wasn't just the gutter just rolling.
Like, push it directly into the gutter. And like, oh.
She made it look realistic. Yeah.
But she's an expert like, bowler. That's how you knew.
But it was, yeah. And then never, and then all of them never bowl again in a series. Like, it's just this one episode, they just master the bowling.
Too much pain.
That's what gets me about sitcoms, is they just do something. Like, everything's about golf or water.
Or making friends with black people.
Yeah. And then you never see black friends.
By the way, there's one black woman in the background.
With there are two. There are two. There's one with an afro and there's one with ponytail.
I took her more as Hispanic.
Yeah, she might have been.
Okay.
Which was like...
she may have been Cuban.
When I saw that, I was like, biracial friends.
Okay, I want to point out that Blanche says... oh, Dorothy, it's a gutter ball. Before we see the ball going into the gutter.
Blanche knows her game.
Yeah, she knows it's going to be a gutter ball already. Okay, and so then they lose. Rose is like, we won. I won.
I won, God damn it. You don't take this from me.
And so Rose is, then they shake hands with everybody. And then Sophia goes up to Dorothy, is like, do I have your money? Yes, and I have and you have my blessing. And then she's like,
what?
Well, it does. Yeah. Oh. If $1,000 more, I can fly first class. And I don't know if that's true. $1,000 more first class is a double.
I think that sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never paid first class, so I don't know.
I don't. I would say $500 more. In modern day money, but maybe back then, first class like got you a song and a dance.
Okay. She needs $1,000 more because that's what she's going to be gambling away in Sicily.
In bocce ball tournaments.
Yeah,
you got it.
She needs more money.
I need more for the underground.
So the next scene is the last scene, and Sophia is talking about going back to Italy, how fun it was. And she admits to, and she says, here you go. Here's my antique silver earrings. You earned them. And Dorothy's like, no way. And you guys won. And then she's like, come on. The ninth pin to the spare is your best shot. You can shoot that all day. You know, and so.
Say it like she's like some old, like, major league veteran. I've seen you do it in the toughest times.
Right. And so they went to Italy.
Remember when you played Russia?
Each other a lot and...
That's what I like to imagine. Like, that was the other thing in that little lady she's talking about. We spent 3 hours looking for so and so, 2 hours on the bus, 1 hour for this.
Right. And yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Part. And then she's like, but then we found out she died. And well, it's understandable because you're so old, Ma.
Well, she says. She died that day.
And then, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because of murder. Because
one day late.
Because she was going to go to the cops to blame Augie.
We came to kill her.
She sensed Augie coming, and she killed herself. She's like, oh, not going to let that guy around my pussy anymore.
yeah, I think we can all assume that he fucked this girl.
Augie
he wants
pussy.
A threesome. He wants to get the old team back together. Old bocce ball team.
Old bocce ball.
Old bocce ball. And so then Sophia goes to put her shit away. And then Blanche comes in, and then Rose come in. And they're like, Rose is like, what's up? And then
look
they're like, do not talk to us. They've been mad this whole time at Rose, apparently. And
for whatever amount of time that she went to Italy,
they did not talk.
They never established, which I have to assume that, like, if you're going to go to Europe.
It was
Europe,
3 days.
Yeah, like, it's either, it could be 3 days, maybe a month. I guess
it was 2 years.
It was Florence, Arizona.
There's like 2 years of Golden Girls that we don't
2 years of not talking.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Rose. You know what you did.
And so Rose writes, she's like, she tries to make it up by putting their names on the trophy too. And then,
yeah,
and then
I, she yeah, wrote, like, I put your name on the trophy too.
Yeah. And Dorothy's like, why'd you write our name super, your name three times bigger, our name's super tiny. And then she's like, well, because I'm the one that fucking won it. Peace out.
Like, if you want to see, it'll be in my bedroom, which I think, which sounds like the biggest intro to a threesome. Where he's like, you guys want to see it? And then I also like
with a trophy involved.
Like, it's also worth noting, like, if you like follow the plot lines of all this, like B. Arthur gets, like, I'm sorry that I haven't said her actual character's name because I only know her as B.
Dorothy,
Arthur.
Dorothy.
Like, Dorothy gets what she wants.
Right.
And then, you know, like, Rose gets what she wants. Dorothy's mom gets what she wants. The only person in this story that is Blanche, who just gets fucked over.
Right, totally.
And it's like, and when they were writing it, they're like, shit, we got to this resolution and Blanche is kind of left out in the cold here. What do we do?
Put her in a cute apron.
Yeah, put her in a cute apron. Maybe we can get one more whore joke in.
Yeah, or a slut joke. All right, so that ends the show. Guys, we did it.
Oh, my God.
Yay! Yay! Zed, do you have any shows coming up soon that you want to plug?
Well, I've got one coming up on the 20th here. Literally right here. Ooh. At the Genevieve Rice Living Room Show, Thanksgiving Extravaganza. Is that?
Yeah, yeah. We're starting at 8:30. It's we accept donations and it's BYOB, but we'll have lots of food.
And
so.
And also be very kind when parking. Neighbors are a bitch.
Totally.
And we can find you on Twitter at
zedphillips.com. Not dot com. Sorry. I got my internet mixed up.
So your Twitter is at?
At Zed Phillips.
And your website is?
ZedPhillips.com. Just yeah, so you know, I beat out a small child in Louisiana in order to get that.
All right.
Yeah. Fuck Louisiana. That's what I call Louisiana Purchase.
Boom.
Oh, dang. Okay, Genevieve, do you have any shows coming up?
I've got the Living Room show, which is right here. You can find me on Twitter at Genevieve Rice, Instagram, Facebook.
Retweeted by Joss Whedon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And Genevieve, tell us about what you wanted at midnight.
I got the tweet of the day on at midnight.
Woo! Tell us the tweet.
Yeah. All right.
What was the tweet?
I don't remember. it was
hashtag scary stories in 5 words.
Oh, so I... It did.
Hashtag, it was when I was in New York.
Joined couples accounts.
Yeah, couples with joint Facebook
account.
Accounts. Yeah.
Classic. It's featured on the Jumbotron in Times Square.
Yeah, amazing.
Which could either have been maybe for 5 seconds or maybe a full hour. We don't know.
I think a full hour.
For real,
probably.
I beat out some Coke.
Yes.
I used a lot of Japanese tourists.
That's amazing.
Genevieve has a huge homeless following because of it.
All these homeless on Twitter. Ad Box is my home. It's following. It's your biggest fan. Okay, and I am at Anthony DeSamita on Twitter.
Ooh.
I'll be at Monkey Pants on November 26th. It's a Thanksgiving show. It should be tons of fun. And that's in Tempe. And it starts at 8 o'clock.
Southern and Merrill.
Oh, yeah. And if you're in Flagstaff, I'll be on a show on December 20th at the Green Room.
I'm also on that show.
Are you on that show?
Yay!
Hey, let's go together. Okay.
I'm not.
And, sorry.
Your sorry, it's like you guys there. Are having so much fun. I thought I could bring you down.
Oh, thanks for bringing us down. the next Steph. Episode is The Break-In. We will send out the link if we can find it. It's an awesome episode. You must watch it and listen to the podcast. We're on Facebook at facebook.com. Thank you for being a podcast. And then we're on Twitter at TIFBAP, which is thank you for being a podcast as an acronym.
I really wanted, like, I saw just literally a screenshot of The Break-In, which was, I think, was it B. Arthur's daughter in a garage?
No, it was Rose Nyland in a, yeah, and walking through a parking garage.
And like and that shot alone, I was like, shit is going to go down.
It's crazy. So watch that, guys. And then we're also, we have an email if you want to email us, tiffbap@gmail.com. And we're on iTunes. You can stream us on the web or download us at thankyouforbeingapodcast.libsyn.com.
And for real, send us telegrams.
Yeah, send us telegrams and review our iTunes. Nobody's done it yet except me.
5 stars.
It's very sad.
I love Anthony.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Yay. Bye-bye. Bye. Gonna stuff the chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.